Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
Here on Forex Fridays, the event that many were waiting for happened this morning when China released their first quarter GDP figures. And though it came in a little bit worse than how some were expecting, with a 6.8% contraction from January to March, markets for the most part seemed a bit more ebullient and a bit more encouraged by comments from the Chinese authorities that they're expecting a stronger second quarter recovery and also signs of possible reopenings of major economies across the world. Naturally, the Forex market's very sensitive to a lot of these macro movements also. We want to get a better gauge of how this is going to impact sentiment among Forex traders moving forward. Today on Forex Fridays, we're joined once again by Mr. Kun Go, who's the head of Asia Research at ANZ, and he's going to help us get a better understanding also of those numbers and what this will mean for Forex markets in the second quarter. Mr. Go, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you and your family have stayed in good health during these times.
Yes, I'm doing very well, Byung. Thank you very much, and hope you're doing the same.
Okay, great. So again, I just wanted to run through those numbers for our listeners here, Mr. Go. China's GDP figures, Bloomberg, the consensus estimates, at least, or median estimates by economists surveyed by Bloomberg, was for the GDP to fall by 6%. It actually fell by more than that, 6.8%. I believe you're one of those economists that Bloomberg sometimes surveys also. How did these numbers stack up with your estimates? And did you think this was a bad beat, or was this actually a positive surprise based on what you're watching?
Well, we were actually anticipating a much larger contraction of over 9% year on year. So in that regard, the number actually came in better than what we were expecting. So it was a positive surprise on that front. I think if you look at the details of the report, there are some positive signs we can take out. Industrial production, for example, did not fare as badly as what we had initially anticipated. And there were other areas that suggest that activity, which I think the low point was definitely in the month of February, certainly showed signs of an uptick in March, which helped to prevent a much larger contraction in Q1 overall. So there is something in there to take some positives out.
When you compare moves by other economies and governments who have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic, China has been active, but also a bit more measured in doling out support measures, apart from the occasional adjustment from the PBOC. Do you think there's some salience in China's more measured approach, especially since they were arguably the first major economy to really get rocked by the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yeah, I think the Chinese fiscal and monetary response have been a lot more measured compared to what we've seen in other economies. Mm-hmm. I think that's partly because they were the first in to the crisis, and therefore it was largely a domestic outbreak issue that they had to contend with, whereas the rest of the world right now is having to deal with not only the outbreak in their own economies, but also effectively the rest of the world going into shutdown. Now, this also means that Chinese policymakers can continue to provide support further down the track, a genuine fiscal boost, if you like, to help ensure the recovery gets underway. So the Chinese policymakers actually have more options up their sleeve because they have been more targeted and more measured in their earlier approach. So they can deploy more stimulus measures in the form of interest rate cuts, in the form of more fiscal spending to really help drive the recovery and help offset the lost external demand from the rest of the world shutting down.
We're still speaking to Mr. Kun Go, who's the head of Asia Research at ANZ here on Forex Fridays. All right, Mr. Go, let's tie this all the way into what the outlook is for the yuan. There's more up the sleeve. There's more stimulus from China's government and the PBOC. But now that we have more visibility on how bad the economic damage is, how is this impacting your outlook on the yuan moving forward?
I'm still anticipating the yuan to gradually weaken as the year goes along. We know that their export sector will be significantly impacted by the shutdown in the rest of the world. And we also know that there's going to be a large amount of foreign-denominated debt, particularly held by the corporate sector, that will need to be repaid sometime this year. So all those factors point towards ongoing strong onshore dollar demand, which ultimately will see the yuan weakening against the US dollar. But I see the weakness as gradual and measured, definitely not a very abrupt adjustment. So our forecast is for the yuan to weaken towards the 7.15 to 7.20 range against the US dollar.
All right. And if we are expecting, or if there is a possible recovery, let's think of best case scenario for the Chinese economy. There are a lot of economies in the region that are very closely tethered to China's fate. For instance, you have the Australian dollar and the Australian economy, and also the South Korean won. How sensitive are their currencies right now? And how dependent are they on how quickly China can get out of the mud?
Well, the Chinese yuan does serve as an important anchor for the region's currencies. But in this current environment, it's the fortunes of the US dollar, I feel, that will be more important for these other currencies. Now, at the moment, the US dollar has been fairly strong, and I believe we could still see further strengthening in the US dollar, despite the Fed doing unlimited QE. And that's because globally, with many parts of the world shut down, there is still a very mad scramble for dollars, particularly by the corporate sector, which will keep the dollar stronger for longer. And in turn, that will result in some mild weakening pressure in the regional currencies. And that also includes the Aussie dollar as well.
The one currency in the region that's actually in a very interesting situation, especially after this morning, is the Singapore dollar. On one hand, Singapore's economy and the local currency also very closely related to the Chinese yuan. But on the other hand, we saw those non-oil domestic exports earlier today surprise to the upside. Is this further evidence that maybe a recovery might be sooner rather than we think? And how might this actually impact the Singapore's dollar's chances? Is the outlook at least improving for the SGD based on all of these developments?
Yeah, I think the surprise upside in the March Nordex numbers out from Singapore today has been inflated by three factors. I mean, firstly, there was an additional working day in March this year compared to last year. So that naturally helps to impart some improvement. I think secondly, there was also a very low base last year. Exports were severely hampered at this time last year due to the US-China trade war. So that low base definitely helps in terms of the year-on-year numbers. And thirdly, because the Nordex is reported in Singapore dollar terms, the Sing dollar has weakened since last year. So again, that's provided a boost to the headline numbers that were reported. I think the Nordex numbers that we've seen for March is going to be as good as it gets for the rest of this year. All the forward indicators suggest that the Nordex will start to slide down and back into negative territory in the coming months. Now, what it means for the Sing dollar, yes, it has been strong, particularly since the MAS eased policy on 30th of March. I think part of that strength is due to some safe haven characteristics that Singapore tends to attract during times of crisis. That certainly helps to keep the Sing dollar steadier or stronger. But given the weak economic outlook and my expectations that Singapore's exports will slip back into negative territory, I believe we will start to see the Sing dollar renew its weakening trend, especially as I anticipate there is still a possibility the MAS might ease policy again later this year.
We are facing possible dollar strength in the future, as you've mentioned, and also continued COVID-19 developments. This pandemic might be slowing down, but they could pick up once again. Mr. Goh, are there any currency pairs that you're watching out for closely in the coming quarter in terms of opportunities or even in terms of downside risks?
I think the one currency in this region that I think will continue to do well and outperform is the Taiwan dollar. I think the Taiwan economy, while not immune to what's happening globally, is probably in a better position to weather it because of the composition of their exports and also the fact that they have had the virus outbreak situation much better controlled within their own economy. So I expect the Taiwan dollar to continue to fare pretty well and outperform. The currency that I think has scope to weaken further and underperform is the Indian rupee. In fact, we have seen the rupee hitting all-time lows against the US dollar, and I anticipate that will continue with the rupee weakening towards 80 at some stage this year, given the outbreak is still worsening in India. With the lockdowns getting extended, that's going to put more negative impact on the Indian economy and potentially more stress on the financial sector. So all in all, I still see further weakness for the Indian rupee to come.
And very quickly, Mr. Goh, can you give us your outlook on gold, if you have any right now? Some of the more bullish gold bulls are now coming out and proclaiming that 1800, a breach of that, is a matter now of when and not if. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the 1800 level is definitely a very, very strong technical resistance level that everyone is looking at. I do believe that we will see a break of that eventually. There's a lot of compelling cases for dollar to be stronger. We are seeing, after all, central banks all around the world engaging in monetary easing and quantitative easing, in some cases in unlimited quantities. And that naturally means that it's an ongoing debasement of fiat currencies. And in this kind of environment, it should be positive for gold in the end.
Mr. Khun Goh, Head of Asia Research at ANZ, thank you so much for joining us today on Forex Fridays. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued safety and good health during these times. Have a great weekend ahead, sir.
You too, very much. Thanks so much, JPL.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.